now that we've got a kind of a more full audience, and as it happens, also one or two other people who've joined us, let me explain to you quickly. I've already introduced this session, so I'm not going to go over that ground again. But I'd like to welcome the 8 or 10 people who've joined us. Thank you for coming. I'd like to explain to all of you that this session is in two parts. We have this session, which is focusing on the forum in Africa and in the United States, critically looking at both experiences and comparing them. Then starting at 12:30 will be a second session, which will be equally important. It will be looking critically at the implications of the radically new Axis 12 for the World Social Forum. Axis 12 has been introduced, and for those of you who don't know it, the text is on this yellow sheet. It's actually included in the bottom part there, below the title. It was introduced in the last 6-8 months as a proposal primarily coming out of Latin American indigenous networks and a few people from other parts of the world. We collaborated in terms of looking at European modernity as being responsible for the crisis of civilization that many people feel that we're facing. The question is, the WSF itself is a product of European and modernity, of a whole idea of thinking and of dreams of other possible worlds. The slogan was coined in Europe, but it's not only just European words, it's a mentality, it's a dream, which has also got spread across the world through colonialism over the last several centuries and reproduced in new form, whether in Brazil, India, Australia, Canada, all over the world. Now, we need to therefore look at whether the tenets that have been put forward of European modernity also apply to the forum. Is the WSF itself colonial? We have among us an author who is interrogating precisely that question, Janet Conway, who is around. She's here, right here. She's looking at this and looking at the positionality of indigenous peoples in the forum. But with her, we had hoped to have Valentin Muiba, who is one of the leaders of the indigenous peoples in the Amazon basin. To our last word, unfortunately, he is not here or will not be able to join us, which is a great, great pity. Who? Valentin? Oh, no, Janet is here. Valentin Muiba is not, sorry. So we wanted, of course, the voice of peoples who have articulated these positions to be here. We are still trying to see if we can get a replacement, but along with them, we will then open that subject for discussion by Francine Mestrom, who is here. Demba Dembele probably will not be here, and by William Copeland, who is a member of the Planning Committee in the U.S. Forum. Boa Ventura de Sousa Santos, and also Genevieve Azam, we're hoping will be here. She's split between two events this afternoon. She's going to be trying from Attac, France. So, and we may have a representative from GDJ. So again this afternoon, we have a very important subject which is about the present of the forum, the present moment of the forum. How is it dealing with the presence of indigenous peoples within the forum, and what have been characteristics and weaknesses of the forum in the past? So I'm inviting all of you to please come back here this afternoon. Yes.
I'm Claire, I'm an interpreter.
Wonderful.
Any French
interpretation? Oui. Oui. Ici. Thank you for coming. We had asked for translation, and finally translation has come. Okay, so I've said enough, and I'd like to invite, one more small plug, because things are happening and moving. There are a couple of books for sale here. Keep them safe, I think, yeah. Yeah, Sano. These are for sale. This book is for 15 euros. It's a you look at the contents, and this is a series of of monographs by young activist scholars on different aspects of the forum, on sexuality, on Dalit participation, on grassroots participation, coming from the Indian experience. Please do buy, that's €5. Okay, so can we start with Michael Leon Guerrero from Grassroots Global Justice Alliance and a member of the National Planning Committee of the US Forum. He has played the Grassroots Justice Alliance was formed specifically after being inspired by the World Social Forum. And to play the role of bringing together movements in the United States to look at the international question. Mike.
Thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank Jai and Kasim for organizing this discussion and all of the other important conversations that will happen during the course of this forum. Also want to thank Mr. Wallerstein for all of his very important work, very inspiring and visionary work, and for doing the opening and for being here this morning. And of course, the organizers of the forum here in Africa. It's a tremendous honor to be here, and I think I've been to a number of social forums in different places of the world, and it's always really an honor to be invited into someone's home under very difficult circumstances in many cases to be part of these conversations and be part of building a global movement for social justice throughout the world. So let me start by saying that I think if the experience of the last 2 days has taught us anything, is that organizing a social forum is challenging, right? And I think for those of us, anybody who's been involved in the organizing process of a social forum, we've had similar experiences. Some maybe not at the same scale in terms of challenges and difficulties, but we've all had a number of challenges in being able to organize such an event. And it's challenging on many levels. I mean, one, politically. First of all, when we think about what the intent is and the goals of the social forum process, in itself, that is a very challenging thing, because it's breaking the divisions and the fragmentation that have limited us from building broader power for people's movements. And many of us have embraced the model because of the fact that it does help us to do that. It helps us to break that fragmentation and isolation of organizations and movements and people's struggles. Secondly, it's culturally difficult, right? Because we all come from very diverse locations, and trying to incorporate the different cultural tendencies and practices and protocols of the different cultures to organize a successful forum is always very challenging. And then finally, logistics is always a major problem as well. And we know that logistics is also political. And clearly the president of the country of Senegal, the president of the university, understood that. That in order if you really want to challenge or undermine a process, one of the best ways to do that is to break it down logistically. And so these are all the challenges that I know the folks in the Africa Organizing Committee here have had to deal with on a scale that I know we haven't had to deal with in the United States. But I can tell you, and I will in a few minutes, about how challenging that process in itself also was for us in the US. So I think it is unusual, I think you would all agree, to hear that something actually good is actually being exported out of the United States in terms of a process that we've developed to other parts of the world. And I do think there are things that we did very well and successfully in the United States social forum process, and there are things that we did not do well. Which I will also speak about. But first of all, to say that we are very clear that the model that we've embraced and the vehicle of the social forum is something that to us was brought from the Global South. In a lot of ways, we see it as a gift that was given to us as a way to help us in terms of our organizing and understanding about global politics, but also how we can organize ourselves better in the US. So for me, this journey began in 2002 at the second World Social Forum, where I was part of a delegation of grassroots organizations in the United States. There are many that have grown in the course of the last 30 years, small grassroots, community-based worker organizations in the U.S. that organize locally in response to local conditions in a variety of places using a variety of organizing models that have been over the course of the last two decades really trying to affiliate and ways to build networks and alliances. And so in this last 10 years, there have been a number of national alliances that have grown in the United States. One of those is the Grassroots Global Justice Alliance, which I'm a part of. Our alliance specifically has two primary objectives. One is that we have to strengthen movement building within the United States from the bottom up. How do we build grassroots power in the United States? And I'm sure I don't need to explain why that's important for all of us. Second is that we need it to be more proactive and strategic in our relationships and our engagement with the international social movements. It was clear that over the last 30 years in the United States that we were losing, ground politically because of the neoliberal project, because of the crisis of capitalism that has been unfolding for all this time, that our communities were being pitted against each other internally, but also with communities throughout the world. So we were finding that politically we were consistently losing ground. And the root causes of that were because of what was happening with global capitalism and the mechanisms and decision-making bodies that were being created at the world level. The World Trade Organization, trade agreements like the North American Free Trade Agreement, the World Bank, IMF, etc. So we knew that we also had to fight on this terrain. And over the last 20 years started slowly to build relationships with other movements around the world. But what we realized was that it was very, very expensive and difficult to do. And so we needed to create some capacity at a national level for us to be able to do that more effectively. The battle in Seattle was a real eye-opener for us in this whole process. And then the establishment of the World Social Forum was the next step in us being able to engage with the rest of the world. So in 2002, we came back very inspired. We saw national movements in Brazil and other countries from all over the world that were just had really a lot of strength and energy and excitement. And also just that the transformational part of the forum, just how people, you know, it's so inspiring and powerful. And that's one of the things I know people like Chico Whitaker have wrote about. It's one of the things that are very hard to actually describe to people. Being in dialogue and conversations with people that are on the front lines of struggle throughout the world, and what that means for people in terms of breaking that isolation and that we're not in this fight alone, that to me has actually been one of the most important aspects of the social forum process. So we established the Grassroots Global Justice Alliance, and every year since then we've been sending delegations of grassroots leaders to the social forum to continue that process. And then the idea of organizing a social forum in the United States started to emerge. And the vision of the social forum has always been that it would actually grow and create different local versions and national versions. And there was actually a request for a while to organize a world social forum in the United States. And we resisted that from the beginning. And the reason why is because just the challenges of people being able to come. Getting visas for people throughout the world to come to the United States, it would limit participation, and to us really wouldn't reflect a truly world global social forum. And then in 2003, the International Council actually met in the city of Miami, and the question again was put to us about a social forum, and we agreed to actually explore the possibility of organizing a United States social forum. Which we did, and we had a long process of dialogue and discussion with organizations throughout the country, and finally agreed that we would do that. Now, just to say that Joy talked about the resistance that we had, and the concept of even though it's an open space, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a level playing field. And in the United States, we have our own conditions and dynamics where people are marginalized, and it's largely people of color, indigenous communities, poor people are largely marginalized from national decision making and movement building spaces. There's a lot of emphasis on policy, focused on Washington, D.C., and changing national policy, but not building a strong movement from the grassroots that brings in all sectors and particularly marginalized people throughout the country. And I think we're seeing the results of that today in the United States if you look at the Tea Party movement and what's happening, because the right has been very clear about building grassroots movement. It's a very top-down movement. I mean, clearly it's corporate-driven and a lot of corporate money is going into that, but they also know that they need a base. And they've been able to mobilize a base specifically around specific values, around fear, and an agenda of hate. So for us to challenge that, we need to also build from the grassroots level around a set of values and strategies and vision. So that's been slow and it's been difficult. But we knew that if we were gonna use this model, this tool of the social forum, that it had to be built from the ground up. And so for us, it was very important that we started with those marginalized communities first. And this has been, we've been critiqued by that, for that model. Because even though we said it is open, that anybody could participate in the organizing of the US Social Forum, in terms of practice and who we would actually reach out to first, it was very clear that we would go to the indigenous communities, that we would go to immigrant communities, people of color communities around the country, and start there. Once we consolidated that space and the power of those groups within the social forum space, then it was much easier to open it up to other sectors, right? Because then at least they would not be forced out of the leadership of the process, and they could we could basically advocate for our own rights and leadership. So that being said, it took us 4 years for the first United States Social Forum to come together. And it was both because of that very deliberate process. It also had to do with the fact that many people in the United States, our own colleagues, didn't know about the Social Forum. So there's a lot of process of education about why is this different from any other conference we go to. So that took time. And then in the midst of that, we had decided it would be in Atlanta, Georgia. The hurricane took place in New Orleans in 2005. And 200,000 people were displaced from the city of New Orleans. Many of them started going to the city of Atlanta. And so the organizing groups in Atlanta actually were spending time in relief efforts. So that postponed the forum again for another year. So all of these challenges really resulted in a 4-year process of organization. When the forum, so the other thing in terms of the politics of organizing the USSF, I handed out a sheet, this sheet here. I don't know if everybody got one, and I apologize, we only have it in English. But it has a couple of, really three documents that were important for the social forum organizing process. So first of all, we affirm that we agree with the charter of principles. We agree with the model of the social forum. But for us, for it to actually work for us, we also had to add to that. And so you'll see in the second part, there's a what we believe statement, right? So the organizers of the forum also had to agree with this, which talks about the importance and the centrality of people of color, poor people's organizations being in the leadership of the process. At the top of the document is the goals. And for the first social forum, we actually used the first four goals, which was create a space for social movement convergence and strategic discussion, advance social movement's agenda for action and transformation, build stronger relationships and collaboration between movements, and deepen our commitment to international solidarity and common struggle. The fifth goal was actually added after the first one, and I could talk more about why that was important, which is to strengthen local capacity to improve local conditions, organizing, and movement building in Detroit. So it's important for us also that the social forum didn't just sweep into the city, have our meeting, and leave. We also knew that it was important that where it was organized had to help also strengthen the efforts of the local organizations, because it takes a lot out of the local organizations to actually host a social forum. So I think the results of the first U.S. social forum were actually very significant for us. It had that same social forum feel of energy and excitement. And there were a lot of new initiatives that emerged out of the social forum that were very important. New national organizations like the Solidarity Economy Network, which we know is an international process. The national version started in the U.S. Social Forum. The National Domestic Workers Alliance, which now is 30 cities throughout the United States of organizations of domestic workers that just in New York City just passed New York State passed a Bill of Rights for domestic workers. And it's the first time that they actually were able to pass something like that as policy. Since then, they've organized an Excluded Workers Congress, which basically brings together all workers that are not protected under labor laws within the United States. And that's one of the most exciting, growing movements in the U.S. There was a lot of discussion about climate change and environmental justice and groups that have been aligning around that. We had 20% of the forum was youth, youth high school age or college age and younger. We had queer organizations from all over the country, indigenous organizations, We had prisoners' organizations and their families that organized activities. I mean, it was just a really amazing and exciting experience. So I think there were a lot of concrete results that we saw immediately following the forum. And then there's been a lot of things since then. So to this day, people come up and say, I was at the first U.S. Social Forum, and it really was a real life-changing event for me. So again, it's one of those things that's not necessarily you can't quantify right away, but what it means for people that were a part of it and how it's changed their lives and brought them into the movement to be part of something that's much bigger than the, you know, it creates the sum of the parts and makes us bigger than who we are individually or as organizations. Now, some of the challenges and some of the things that were not done well, we could talk about what happened with the city of Atlanta itself, right? And how it actually, the strain that it had on the local organizations in the city of Atlanta. And so that's why we added the fifth goal, right? Is that we had to provide support and infrastructure for the organizations there. I think another critique, which is valid of the U.S. Social Forum in both Atlanta and the second one in Detroit, is that it wasn't broad enough. Even though we were able to consolidate this grassroots sector, largely led by people of color and indigenous people, other sectors really didn't engage as strongly as we hoped. So labor was there, but it was really rank and file leadership and some leaders within unions, but as a whole, the sector of labor was not a part of it. We attributed this largely to the fact that the AFL-CIO, the largest labor federation in the country, split during that time, right? So there was a lot of internal fighting that was happening in labor, and it was hard to do any outreach to the labor organizations at that time. But yet and still, in the second U.S. Social Forum, we had the same experience. So it's something that we do have to evaluate. Even though there was deeper participation by some sectors within labor, overall, labor was not there very strong. Environmental organizations, conservation organizations weren't there at a strong and deep level, and several others as well. So there's still a lot of work that we need to do in building more broadly within the U.S. But I think we do have a very strong foundation to be able to build from. One of the things then that we decided coming out of Atlanta was that we agreed to do a second forum. And for those of us who organized the first one, it was like, we were at first not very excited about having to do another one just because of the amount of work that it takes. But politically, we did realize that it was important to just not end the process there, that we did need to continue, and that we do very much see it as a process that builds over time. So we did agree, and then we went through a very long, deliberative process about what the forum would look like, things that we would change, and the location. So a couple of things I need to point out now that we did differently within the U.S. One is the choice of location. And oftentimes, the social forums have been organized in cities or locations where the government is supportive. And this is true in Porto Alegre and in Caracas, in places where the local government can provide support, both logistically, financially, and also politically. We decided in the United States to take a different approach, is that we wanted to highlight areas where there was struggle, but not necessarily support from local or state government. And so Atlanta was the first choice for us because of the historical importance of the South, because of the African-American struggles, civil rights movement, et cetera. And we think that was a good call. So the second city that we chose was Detroit, because at the time, of course, the economic crisis was really unfolding in a deep way in 2007. And the course of the last 3 years. And we thought Detroit in the United States was probably one of the best examples that highlighted the impact of the crisis of capitalism, but also the organizing that had gone on there over the course of the last several decades. And we think also that was a good choice. But for those of you that have been to the city of Detroit, you'll see the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people from the city, the economic devastation of the auto industry, being totally in crisis and decline for decades now. So you'll see just huge areas of the community that are just completely devastated economically and socially. But it has its challenges as well. In terms of the organizing infrastructure, in terms of the capacity of local organizations, that really, it took its toll. So we actually started with 5 local organizations in Detroit that were anchor organizations that would house the infrastructure of the forum. By the end of the U.S. Social Forum, there were 2. Right? three organizations had closed their doors during the course of the organizing process beginning and by the end. So just to give an idea of just how difficult the conditions are in a city like Detroit in terms of the organizing. Another thing that we did differently was that there's been this tension within the forum about an open space versus a movement, about a final statement being issued, about organizations basically issuing declarations and strategies and resolutions. And it's historically been a tension within the forum. We felt it was important to embrace both tendencies. We felt it was important that to maintain the open space character of the social forum, but also that the forum should provide a space for organizations to be able to organize themselves and provide declarations. So let me be clear, the forum has always allowed for that. The Charter of Principles has never contradicted the idea of resolutions and declarations coming out of the forum. It just cannot be in the name of the social forum. So we took it to another level in the sense that we felt it was important that the forum actually help organize that space. And so similar to what we're seeing here, there were assemblies that were organized, and we'll see that on the in the next 2 days, the 38 assemblies around different issues that will be organized here. We did a similar process in the U.S. where organizations self-organized assemblies around different issues, whether it was climate, workers' rights, et cetera. And so at the end, there was an assembly where resolutions and proposals for days of action were issued as part of the forum. But again, not in the name of the social forum itself. And so that's become actually now a very important part of the process. So that in 2010, we actually encouraged organizations to organize assemblies around the country. And the process began months before for the assembly process. And then it culminated in the social forum, People's Movement Assembly at the U.S. Social Forum. So we thought that was, even though it was very difficult and challenging, we think that was a very important aspect of the forum as well. And then the other aspect of it, which is what I've already talked about, the intentionality in terms of outreach, who is actually going to play a leadership role within the forum. I'm not going to go on too much longer, but I think in terms of the of Detroit and the results of the Detroit Social Forum, I think again what was different about Detroit from Atlanta was that Atlanta was a very new experience to me. It was very exciting. People got exposed to the social forum process for the first time, and I think a lot of things came out of it. But there wasn't a level of people really being clear going in what they were going to do. I think Detroit was different because a number of groups had already participated the first time, and they knew going in that these are the groups that we want to build with, these are the kinds of strategies that we want to use, and so there was a lot more intentionality. And I think that was good on one hand, but I think there was a flavor that was also lost. There was a character that was different, right? It was much more strategic, but I think there was less convergence overall. So we had groups that, you know, had very specific tracks that were going to work on climate, that were going to work on excluded workers, that were going to work on immigration, but there wasn't necessarily an overall interaction between groups, right? And I think that's something, as we move forward in this process, that we not lose, because that really ultimately is the whole purpose of the forum, is how do all of these movements converge together? So for us, we see two important challenges moving forward with the social forum process in the U.S. One is that we think it needs to expand, right? And so one of the things that we're talking about for the next social forum is that we not organize a big central forum. There's a possibility that we may organize local forums around the country or local assemblies, because we feel it's important to get out to as many communities as possible so that more people can be engaged. So that's one option we're discussing. There is still a debate about that. Some people really feel it is important to have a big U.S. social forum. There are also discussions about the possibility of a North American social forum, and we've been in discussions with groups in Canada and Mexico about that possibility as well. So that may happen within the next few years also. The other question is strategically, when would it make sense and how? For those of you that have been paying attention to what's going on in the United States, you'll know that 2012 is going to be a very critical year for us politically, because that's the next national election. And there was a major setback this last year in terms of the elections. The Tea Party movement's influence really consolidated itself. And now we have a very divided Congress within the U.S. And Barack Obama is basically a lame duck president for the next the rest of his years in this term. So what we see happening in the United States is that there's going to be a stalemate politically at the national level. We don't see any significant national legislation being able to pass within the next 2 years. So what will unfold is a lot of very intense, very militant local struggles. So the states, there'll be a lot of very important battles that'll take place in cities, municipalities, and counties. All of the debates around immigration, around climate, around the budget and the economy, those fights will be happening very locally and in a very intense way. So for us, it's very important that we build the local capacity for organizing, and just re-emphasizes the importance of grassroots organizing in the United States. So where the social forum process can fit into helping that, that's one of the things that we're struggling with, and that will determine what the model is that we use and how we use the model in the next few years to come. I think lastly, one of the things that we also realized was that even though we've done two social forums, the connection with the international social forum process, we don't feel is as strong as it could have been. Last year, I think, was very significant in the fact that there were over 40 social forums throughout the world that took place. And to me, I think that's largely the future of the forum. That's where we see a lot of the innovation and creativity of how organizations and movements are using the model to fit their local context. And in the U.S., I think it's been very important and helpful for us. But yet and still, that connection to the overall social forum process and global movements, I think there's still a lot of work there. So a lot of the conversations that are happening here are still not reaching our communities at a deep level. And so we see that as our challenge. Cochabamba and what's been happening in Cochabamba with the People's Accords around climate, all of the thinking, the knowledge that's here, we still have a lot of work to do for that to reach our communities. So I'll end in saying that I honestly think that this social forum is probably one of the most important ones in many years, because I think it happens at the nexus of a few historical trends that are important. One is where the global justice movement is to begin with. This is a 10-year-old process now of social forums, and there have been a lot of successes in the last 10 years that we can build upon. And the social forum has been really critical to that, right? I think we're actually entering a third phase of social forum development or global justice movement development. In the first few years of the last decade, it was very militant and very clear targets like the WTO, the IMF, the World Bank. And then there was a period where the movement kind of decentralized. There were a lot of national struggles around trade agreements, electoral strategies like in Latin America. And I think during that time, it was important to have the social forum space at the world level, because at least it gave us a place where we still all came together. I think what we're seeing now is that the militancy is going to arise again, and around particular issues like climate, around U.S. empire and militarism, around migration, and so we're seeing the beginnings of a lot of mobilization, and democratization is another major issue. The other important trend, of course, is the crises, the economic, the ecological crises, food crises, all of these, all are happening at the same time. And then I think lastly, Africa. Right, and the mobilizations that we're seeing in Africa. And I think Africa is actually going to be, that this next decade could actually be defined by what happens here in Africa in this next decade and what happens with the social movements here. So I think all of that is coming together here in this space. And despite all the logistical challenges and political challenges, I think this will be a defining moment, you know, as long as we continue to find our way and continue to figure out how to have these conversations while we're here. So. Anyway, I want to thank you again.
Thank you, Michael, for a really wonderful speech. I mean, it was great to have this overview and the depth coming out. And this is, he's really a master on this. You read his essay, it of course, it's months of work behind it, and it really is wonderful. Has everybody got a copy of this CD? This is being released at this forum. Has everyone got a copy? Okay, I'll send a few if you'd send back those that don't have it. This contains Michael's essay as well as Nicholas, who's now going to speak. Sorry, it was falling around anyway. So, and also by other speakers here. It's just a sampler from a book that's coming out in about a month's time. Thank you, Michael. Can I just ask, there's a pad moving around with asking for your names and address. Please do return that. Okay. Nicholas, can I ask you to come on? For those who joined recently, let me explain. Nicholas is a man of many talents and trades. He has an essay on the Nairobi Forum along with a colleague in the sampler, and he's done intense work. He works with the Resources Commission of the WSF now, and is working in the backup team for the Dakar Senegal Forum. So, I think it's these are challenges which Michael's laid out, and I think it's true. This doesn't happen by accident, and I think it's, despite all the struggle, it's amazing that we're here. They're amazing they put up these tents overnight, that we can be together. You know, I think it's fantastic, and I think we, despite all our discomforts, need to applaud what they've done, and I know what Michael's been through. So, please.
Okay, so I think it's pretty relevant actually to have an activity on how well the forum is doing considering the situation. So I think it's pretty relevant to have an activity on how well the World Social Forum is doing today considering the situation of this World Social Forum. And with the situation of this World Social Forum, I mean both the chaos that we've experienced yesterday and that we're experiencing a bit less today, maybe it will be better every day. But I'm also talking about the tremendous mobilization that led to Dakar, the 42 forums that Michael mentioned, and the 11 forums that occurred last year in the Maghreb Mashrek region, which have contributed somehow to what happens now in the Arab world. So we're facing a strange situation of having both this huge mobilization, huge participation also to the caravans. More than 2,500 people have come to Dakar by buses, taking a week, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks to go to Dakar, a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks to go back to Dakar, to go back home, sorry, which is a lot for small farmers from Western Africa. So there is a huge mobilization, far beyond, as I think, our expectations, our hopes, far beyond, of course, the mobilizations that led to the Nairobi Forum, which was an important step to the Dakar Forum. But at the same time, we have a forum that was about to collapse at the last minute because of the issue of homes, which are, of course, mostly related to the administration of the university, but to be honest, which is also depending on the organizer's responsibility. And I include myself in the organizers. But I want to remind you that actually this situation is not new. Most of the social forums have had these two aspects, a huge, tremendous mobilizations and a logistical organizational chaos. Those of you who were in Porto Alegre in 2003 might remember that the program came only on the third day. We had a program on the first day at 4 o'clock, which is actually far better than Porto Alegre 2003. Of course, we had rooms, but we had the program. And I think also that it's quite interesting to remember that the discussions on the future of the forum, the critics, the internal critics on the institutionalization of the forum on its efficiency started as early as the First World Social Forum was over. And as early as the First World Social Forum was over, there were people asking for the WSF organizer to enter a second stage. The First World Social Forum would have been the stage of confrontation, and they were urging the World Social Forum to go to the stage of proposition only after one successful event. So we, as social forum participant and social forum organizer, have put a lot of pressure on ourselves, probably much more than external commentators, than the media, than our opponents. We've been the first ones to put ourselves under pressure and to create this situation, this atmosphere, this feeling that the social forum was both great and about to collapse, both very useful and useless at the same time. And I think that it's also very interesting to have this activity here in Dakar, because having the forum happening in other cities, in other countries than Porto Alegre is very interesting and tells a lot about what the World Social Forum is. And analyzing how the WSF travels, how the WSF is kind of imported into new context, is a very teaching and interesting issue. And actually, by traveling and importing the WSF into different contexts, we can also consider the Belém Forum as a forum happening in another universe than Porto Alegre. And of course, it's not very easy to make the WSF travel. We as organizers, as International Council member, maybe sometimes we have a tendency to consider that the WSF principles are global, are relevant anywhere in the world, which is not true, which has at least, like Michael said, to be built, to be organized, to be empowered. It doesn't come out of nowhere. And the Nairobi Forum was very teaching on that, because it was a clear proof that the principle of openness, the principle of horizontality, was not, and the forms of cooperation that are typical for the World Social Forum couldn't be imported into the Kenyan context from nowhere. And that there was a huge work to do to make this work, and that maybe the organizer, and by organizer I don't only mean the organizing committee of the forum in Kenya, but also the International Council, didn't pay enough attention to these challenges, which led to a situation in Nairobi of confrontation between social forum participants, between grassroots activists and other social forum participants, social forum organizers, some of them being grassroots activists, others being NGO leaders. And this came, I think, precisely out of the fact that the forms of cooperation that we managed to have within the World Social Forum can sometimes clash with forms of cooperation in the activist universe in some context. Now, the other thing is that the way the WSF travels teach us is something that we know from the very beginning, but that it shows very accurately. It is the plasticity of the WSF, its capacity to be shaped, changed, transformed all over the time. Let me take just one example. The WSF Charter of Principles is very clear on different issues. One of them, the most important of them maybe, is that the WSF is not an organization, but a space. Here, in Africa, you have the African Social Forum, which is an organization. It has a secretariat, it has representative, it has members. But they are part of the social forum dynamics. And they precisely decided to create an organization because they considered that without being organized, they would not exist collectively within the WSF at the pole. And I must say that, like Jay said in his opening speech, this forum being the third one organized in Africa, I think that their analysis of the situation proved to be true. Because if you compare to what happened in India, where one very successful grassroots massive WSF was organized, the Indian organization have almost disappeared from the International Council. Only few of them still participate in the meetings, and we still have no real perspective or vision of whether we can organize a World Social Forum or a continental forum in Asia. So this choice was probably relevant, but is also the source of many tensions and many issues. Because anytime you want to organize a World Social Forum, you have two levels of organization. One is the local level, the national and the continental level, the local level. This is where all the politics happens. The discussions with the states, the discussions with the supporters, the discussion on the resources. and the mobilization. Because mobilization for World Social Forum, it's like 90% of the participants come from the country or the neighboring countries. Then around 7% of the participants come from the continent, and only 3% come from abroad, overseas. So clearly, most of the things have to occur locally. But at the same time, the experience of organizing the World Social Forum is a global one. And the ones who have the experience are the International Council members. So it's very difficult to find a good balance between what has to happen locally and what has to happen internationally. And most of the time, this is solved by a low profile by the International Council with individual contribution from its members. But now the choice of the African Social Forum to create an organization at the third level between the local one and the global one, we have the continental organizations. And it's a source of tension, clearly, because some African movements are opposed to the choice of the African Social Forum, are not part of the, opposed to the position of the African Social Forum, sorry, are not members of the African Social Forum, but still want to be part of the World Social Forum. So this creates tensions, issues, but this shows at least how flexible, how plastic the World Social Forum is. Now I think also, and I end up with that because we can maybe have a discussion after, is that, I think that also from the very beginning, maybe from after 2003, actually, it was in Porto Alegre 2003 that the critics started to rise a lot, and that there were, you know, people starting to say that WSF was to forget and that we should create a new political space because WSF was an institution. And at that time, there was a lot of frustration. And I think also that frustration is not a problem in itself. Actually, frustration is part of the WSF project because the WSF is precisely located between the experience that we have of how globalization, neoliberal globalization, can be hard, difficult, can destroy lives, make people die, suffer from hunger, and it's this kind of thing. So we have on one side the experience, and on the other side the hope for another world, and our attempts, our daily experiences of alternatives. And this space in between is where the WSF is, and it is a very frustrating situation. It is a very frustrating space. But frustration is not a problem, as long as we manage to politicize this frustration. And the political name of frustration that we manage to give within the World Social Forum is experimentation, is prefiguration, is anticipation. And it was, how can we organize the WSF not only as a space for discussion, but only as a space to engage in concrete alternatives, to organize like we would like the other world to be. And there were clear and wonderful attempts about this, one of them being the Babels Network of Volunteers Interpreters. Another one was the idea of the World Social Forum territory, the World Social Territory in Porto Alegre 2005, where all the space was built for the World Social Forum by a solidarity-based economy cooperative, where all the food, water was sold by people living in favelas. But there was a huge experimentation. And I must confess that we have lost the experimental dimension of the World Social Forum, which make frustration growing because we are not able anymore to politicize this frustration. So I think that one of the challenges for the future of the WSF is to find a way to repoliticize this frustration and to build on the tremendous mobilization we are experiencing now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.